That's good stuff, ain't it?
Woo!
Hallelujah. Julian's actually going to go on that trip with me this fall. He and my son Micah and one other young man that I mentor, Mylon. And so we're going to have a great time traveling across the country, 6 weeks, just going at it. But one of the more recent and exciting things that have happened in our family is our twin girls just graduated from the Maranatha Ministry Training Center in Wickham, New Brunswick, Canada. It was a 10-month intensive leadership development at Bible College. And they went there last September and just graduated July 7th. And they both graduated with high honors. Yes. And so they're going to come because they're going to do a song. It's Kayla that's going to share. All right, come on up here, guys. You might as well just come up here and stand and be ready that way. She won't take forever. So this is the older by a minute twin. This is Michaela and this is Megan. And she's going to share a little testimony tonight of what Bible College had done for her. And then tomorrow Megan's going to share, okay?
So one of the main reasons that I wanted to go to college was to know more about God and to get more into His Word. And being there had given me opportunities to preach in nursing homes and to preach into the church that I was attending. And it was an awesome experience for me. I was able to experience God for myself and to be able to believe in some of the stuff that my parents believed, but that I could believe it for myself and get into the Word. And one of the scriptures that they used that really stuck with me was 2 Timothy 2:15. And it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And one of the things that they really wanted us to know was that we shouldn't be ashamed to preach the gospel and that we need to be diligent to get into the word and to study it. And when we read the Bible, we need to look at it spiritually because it's a spiritual book. If you look at it, you can get stuff from it naturally, but when you look at it spiritually, you can get even a better revelation of it. And another thing they wanted us to know was it's all about the heart, that the Christian life is all about the heart, and when we ask for forgiveness or we repent or we give our lives to God, God looks at the heart. And if you put your whole heart into it, then God will see that. Because if you don't put your whole heart into something, then it won't really be that successful. And you need to put your whole heart into it. And like I said, it all goes back to the heart. And seeing what God has done in my life is awesome. And I'm looking forward to what God has for me. And I thank God that He has directed my path and that He's given me opportunities to travel with my dad and that I'm able to speak when I can. And when I got my diploma, they sent me off into the missions field. And, like, I don't have to go overseas to do that. I can do it in the community I'm in or anywhere I go, it can be like my own little mission field.
Amen. Believe in God. God's going to do some great things. Amen. Whether there's many people here or whether there's few, God doesn't need the majority. Huh? Doesn't need the majority. If He just has a handful of people to be sold out, willing to go wherever He says go, do whatever He says do. Amen. Turn the whole world upside down. Amen. So I'm expecting you guys to go turn the world upside down. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to share a message that I believe God has given me this word, and it is a word for the day and the hour that we are living in. It is a word for the Big C Church, but it's a word for Little C Church as well. Amen. And I'm going to share it as an admonishment, but it may sound like a rebuke, but that's okay. Because the Word of God is good for rebuking at times. Amen? Amen. And so, but I want you to know my heart. If I get to preaching and I sound mad, I'm not mad at anybody, but I am greatly concerned about the condition of the American church. As Christians, I believe we have been called, we have been appointed, we have been anointed by God to advance the kingdom of God. We have not been called to hide our heads in the proverbial sand. We have not been called to stay within the four walls of our church inside a holy huddle waiting for Jesus to come rescue us. We have not been called to advance the agendas of man or man's ideas. We have been called to advance the kingdom of God through evangelism, discipleship, spiritual warfare, and the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm here to tell you, folks, that the body of Christ around the world is doing a tremendous job. Just not in America. In America, we are failing miserably at advancing the kingdom of God. In fact, the place on the planet right now that is the least reached place with the gospel of Jesus Christ is not in an atheistic nation. It's not in a communist nation. It's not in a Muslim nation. It's right here in America. In the state of New Hampshire, to be exact. Listen, 7 of our United States of America so lack the gospel, they have now been called unreached people groups. All 6 New England states and Washington state make up those 7. Let me just give you some stats. All around the world, not counting America, but all around the world, every day, 180,000 people are getting saved every day. Well, that's good news. That's 65.7 million people every year are getting saved around the world, not counting America. So what's the conversion rate in America? In America, 1,100 people a day get saved. That's 400,000 a year. Let me put it to you this way. This might help you because that sounds like a big number. But here's what it is. It's every church in America wins one soul once a year. That's what 400,000 people a year in America getting saved, that's what it breaks down to. One soul per year per church in America. Friend, the American church is broken. Listen, at that rate, if we could just hit the remote control and hit the pause button, so that nobody else is born in America, nobody else dies in America, it would take us 100 years to win the lost here in America at that conversion rate. Amen? The American church is broken. I know we like to boast. I know we like to brag. I know we like to beat our chest and talk about how awesome we are. But I'm telling you, folks, we are failing miserably at advancing the kingdom here in America. When you look at the cold, hard facts, you can come to no other conclusion except the American church is broken. Let me give you some more numbers. In America, less than 18% of our population actually attends church regularly. And if you think that those 18% are super spiritual giants, 51% of those 18% can't even tell you what the Great Commission is. Yeah. The generation of kids that we have today is known as Generation Z. Kids age 13 to 18, Generation Z. They are the first truly post-Christian generation in America. And studies are revealing to us that atheism in this generation has doubled since the previous generation. Here's a number to think about. 156 million unchurched people in America. 156 million. Look at it another way. If we made them their own nation, they would be the 8th largest nation in the world. Now, out of those 156 million unchurched people, studies have shown that nearly half of them say that if a friend would invite them to church, they would go. Do you hear me? It means if you got 6 unsaved friends and you invite them all to church, statistically 3 of them would show up. Folks, we got to get back to inviting people to church. We have stopped doing that because we think they don't want to come, because if they wanted to come, they would have been here already. No, a lot of them are looking for an invite, amen? Here's another scary statistic. Nearly 10,000 churches in America close their doors forever every year. Now listen, this horrible statistic has been studied out by a guy by the name Thomas Rainier. He gives us 8 signs that your church just might be ready to close its doors. He wrote this phenomenal book called The Autopsy of a Deceased Church. I think every pastor in America needs to get the book and read the book. And you may not like me tonight, but I've got to tell you this, because I'm telling you, we have to confront our present reality. Amen? Here's the 8 signs that your church may be soon closing. Number 1, there has been numerical decline for the last few years. So if your annual church Sunday morning average attendance is 60, and next year it's 58, and next year it's 56, if that continues to go like that, that's a sign that your church just may be closing soon. Number 2, when your church doesn't look like the community. In other words, if you have a large Hispanic population in your community and not one Hispanic person comes to your church, you're not reaching your community. Come on. The church needs to be a sampling of the community. Number 3, the congregation is comprised mostly of senior citizens. I don't need to probably go into detail on that. I think we self-explanatory. Number four, the focus of the church always seems to be on the past and not the future. You know, where most of the conversations are about the good old days, how things used to be, but not what God is doing now. Number 5, fifth sign that your church may be closing, the members are intensely preference-driven. They're more concerned about their preference in music, their preference in the programs, their preference in the schedule, their preference in the facility, more concerned about their preference than they are about reaching the lost. Their idea of discipleship is, somebody please just take care of me. And they think if they are being taken care of, that's discipleship. That is not discipleship. Number 6, the budget of the church is severely inward focused. Most of the funds go to the staff, to the building, but very few are going to missions or outreach or benevolence. Number 7, they are sacred cow facilities. What do I mean by that? Well, there's a lot of items in the church that we can't move, we can't change, and we can't replace. Why? Somebody donated it back in 1968, and we can't possibly get rid of it. People have their own seat in the church, and God help you if somebody else would sit in that seat. We can't get rid of the hymnals and go to PowerPoint because we would be forsaking the old ways, and if the red hymnal was good enough for Paul the Apostle, it ought to be good enough for us. This leads us to the last one, number 8. Any type of change in the church is met with fierce resistance. People are faced with the choice. You either change or your church is going to die. And sadly, though they will not say it, most of them say, I'd rather my church die than to make me change and come out of my comfort zone. My friend, that is wrong. We have not been called to make the church a museum to preserve the past. The church is a movement that is to effect change within the world. Listen, museums will always foster a spirit of tradition and formalism, but a movement will foster a spirit of change and passion. And folks, if we're going to turn things around, we have to stop bemoaning the death of cultural Christianity in America. Let's just deal with it. We are no longer a Christian nation. Just deal with it. Let's stop bemoaning about the good old days. Whining will do us no good. Amen? We've got to start to change things. And that's going to start with the church because it's in the DNA of the church to transform societies. Some of us have the attitude that if the lost want to come to Jesus, they know where we are. But the Great Commission is not about y'all come. The Great Commission is about y'all go. We have to stop seeing the church as a place of comfort to hide out in while we wait for the rapture. We have to understand that the gospel message never changes, but the methods in which we share the gospel are always going to change. So we have to stop trying to keep the church nostalgic. And we have to change some things. Amen? Okay. We also have to abandon this entitlement mentality. The church is not your country club that you pay your dues to. And therefore, you think you've got the right to set the temperature the way you want it, demand the sermon length to be the way you want it, and tell the pastor when and where he can't go on vacation. We have to realize that we don't go to church. We are the church. You know, a lot of times we don't mind coming to church and hearing how we ought to win the loss. We just don't want to actually have to go do it. Here's something else we have to stop doing. Let's stop focusing so much time and energy on minor things. I mean, really, folks, some people in the church have spent so much energy trying to get children to stop running around God's house that they have forgot to invite the unsaved into God's house. So how are we going to turn it all around? I believe we have been called to advance the kingdom of God. And I believe the Lord spoke to me seven things that we need to intentionally do. Seven things we've got to be determined to do, because this is not going to come natural for us. We're going to have to be determined. We're going to have to be intentional to do these things. Now listen, I'm not going to go over all seven. I'm only going to go over three tonight. We're going to look at the other four tomorrow. But if you're taking notes, I want you to get ready. Seven things we've got to do to advance the kingdom of God. Are you ready? Number one, we have to have authentic passion. We have to have authentic passion. Look at your neighbor and say authentic passion. The psalmist said in Psalm 63 and verse 1, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Then the psalmist said in Psalm 73 and 25, he says, Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. Folks, if we're going to advance the kingdom of God, we've got to have authentic passion. Now, that word authentic means genuine. You know, there's authentic Mexican, and then there's Taco Bell. You know what I'm talking about? Authentic is that word genuine. The definition of passion is strong, barely containable emotion. Woo! So put the two words together. Authentic passion is defined as a genuine, real, barely containable emotion. And folks, I see a lot of stuff happening in the church today, but I don't see a lot of authentic passion. Come on, we've got put on, we've got fake, we've got phony, we've got hypocrisy, but we don't have a lot of genuine passion for Jesus. And I know that some churches have a passion, it's just not for Jesus. Some people are passionate about which pew is theirs. Some people are passionate about the music that's going to come from the platform. Some people are passionate about how they can control the church. But friends, we need to have an authentic passion for Jesus in our churches. We cannot become content with dry, stale, mundane religious experiences. Amen? And listen, I'm sad to say our ministry, we go into different churches every week. We've been doing this for 8 years. And we have seen so many churches fall into the trap of programs and procedures but lack the passion. Folks, we need a passion like never before. We need it for ourselves, we need it for our churches, and we need it for our ministries. Amen? Listen, when the world looks at the church, usually what they see is a building that's full of rituals, traditions, rules, and legalisms. But they have yet to see a church full of passion. Come on, you take a person who's passionate about something. Let's just say sports. I mean, they will talk about sports. They know stats about sports. They know details. They know names. They know their stuff. Why? Because they are passionate about it. They'll go to as many games as possible. They love to hang around other people who are passionate about sports as well. Why? Because they have a passion. Now take that same passion and apply it to Jesus. How many Christians are so passionate about Jesus that all they want to do is talk to other people about him? They just want to know all they can know about Jesus. They want to go to church as often as they can because they want to get around other people that have that same kind of passion that loves Jesus as well. Amen? Folks, I'm telling you, if we're going to advance the kingdom of God, the first thing we have to have is an authentic passion for Jesus and his word. Number two, the second thing we need to advance the kingdom of God is we need aggressive pursuit. Aggressive pursuit. Matthew 11:12, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:15, "Always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all." Folks, we've got to have aggressive pursuit if we're going to advance the kingdom of God. As Christians, we have not been called to stroll lazily through our Christian life. We have been called to pursue hard after God and the things of God. And folks, when you're pursuing after something, you better get aggressive in it. Because if you're not aggressive in your pursuit, you just may miss the thing that you're pursuing after. Tommy Tenney, several years ago, wrote a tremendous book called The God Chasers. The God Chasers. It's a great book. If you ever get a chance to get it and read it. But too many believers today are either not pursuing or they're pursuing after the wrong thing. Some Christians have simply started to coast in their Christian walk with God. They've just set the cruise control at a comfortable speed, and they're just enjoying the sights that they can see along the way. Some people have gotten to a place where they are stagnant in their walk with God. There's no life, no joy, no peace, no victory, no deliverance, no miracles, no evidence that God is at work in their life at all. They're just hollow and numb to the things of God. My friends, these things ought not be. Come on, we don't have time to lollygag around anymore. We've got to aggressively be pursuing our Savior, our mission, our calling, and the harvest. We have to be in pursuit. The question is, are we pursuing the right things? We've got to be in pursuit of Jesus. Not more titles, not more fluff that doesn't matter in the long run, but we've got to aggressively pursue Jesus. Amen? Let's chase after him. Because listen, we've chased after a lot of stuff in the church world. Come on, we've chased after prosperity. We've chased after faith. We've chased after demons. We've chased after holiness. And I'm not saying these things aren't, you know, okay. I'm just saying if we would just chase after Jesus, if we would pursue after Jesus, everything else would just start to fall into place. Amen? I hope you're hearing my heart tonight. If we're going to advance the kingdom of God, we have to lay down our own selfish agendas. And we've got to have authentic passion. And we've got to have aggressive pursuit. I remember growing up watching a television show that was very famous back in my day growing up. It was called The Dukes of Hazzard. Anybody remember that? Bone Luke Duke and the General Lee, huh? And I remember almost every episode, Roscoe P. Coltrane, the sheriff, would usually be in his car chasing after the Dukes, and he'd be on the CB talking to Boss Hogg, and he'd say, "I'm in hot pursuit." Remember that? Folks, how about we be like Roscoe P. Coltrane? Let's get in hot pursuit, but after Jesus, amen? Let me finish this evening with number three. If we're going to advance the kingdom of God, we need agreeable people. Agreeable people. Psalm 133 and verse 1, you know it. "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Paul said in Romans 15:5 that we be like-minded towards one another. Jesus in his prayer in John 17 prayed that we would be one. Folks, we've got to learn to walk in unity in the church today. Did you know that we can have unity without uniformity? That means we can all be unique, we can all be different, and yet we can still work together and get along. Isn't that amazing? No one is asking you to stop being who God made you to be. Absolutely not. We celebrate with you the uniqueness and the differences that God has put in your life. Listen, we can keep our identity and still walk in unity. Israel is a nation made up of 12 tribes. Each tribe had their own unique thing. It's just like the 50 states of America. Come on, down south, they do things different than we do up north. They do things different in the Midwest than they do down south. They definitely do things different in California than the rest of the world. You can keep your identity, but we can still walk in unity. But let me tell you what. Though the 12 tribes of Israel maintained their own identity, when they went to war and they went to worship, they came in unity. Amen? Let me tell you something that might hurt your feelings. And maybe you might not like me anymore. Maybe you didn't like me in the first place, so we won't have far to fall off of that pedestal. But we have way too many Christians in the church today that are disagreeable. Folks, I just think it's time that we stop riding our high horse, judging everybody around us as if we're the only Christian that's doing anything for God. I think it's time that we stop being critical of every minister we see on TV. I think it's time that we stop being mouthy and slanderous of other Christians within the church. I think it's time that we stop being disagreeable about everything, thinking that our opinion is the only right one. Come on, let me tell you something about opinions. Opinions are like trash cans. We all have a couple and they usually stink. That's just how that goes, amen? Listen, that kind of stuff is pride and arrogance. It's sin. And let me just say this. We not only have a lot of disagreeable Christians in the church, but folks, we've got a lot of disagreeable ministers. So many of our ministers don't like to get along. Too many of them are territorial and controlling of their sheep. Well, it's not your sheep, it's his sheep. Amen? Afraid that if we work together, my sheep might like you better, and they'll leave my flock to go to your flock. Listen, I'm telling you, if we're going to advance the kingdom of God, we've got to have agreeable people. Remember the word team, T-E-A-M, stands for together everyone achieves more. We've got to stop the nitpicking. Not everyone is going to believe exactly like you, and folks, that's okay. It's okay. As long as we keep Jesus central to our core values, folks, everything's going to be okay. Did you know that we have 22,000 different denominations in Christianity today? 22,000 different denominations in Christianity today, and a lot of it is just because people couldn't get along, so they said bye-bye and started their own denomination. What did Mama tell us when we were kids? Play well with others. Play well with others. Can't we just please get along? I mean, wouldn't that just be wonderful? Listen, it's sad that there are some ministers who think that they're better than everybody else. There are some ministers who think they're the only ones preaching the true gospel. There are some ministers that when they see another minister succeeding and his church growing, they make statements like, well, if I preached what the itching ears wanted to hear, my church would be large too. Why is it that it's easier for us to weep with them that weep than to rejoice with them that rejoice? Let me just be real with you folks. I believe there's a lot of pastors today. A lot of pastors today. This is just my opinion, but I think it's true. There are a lot of pastors today that are not effective in ministry because God has not sent them. They are not a sent one. They are a went one. They went on their own. No one in any position of authority ever confirmed them that they were called of God or gifted of God to go into the pastorate. They just felt they should. And maybe the motive was selfish, maybe it wasn't. But folks, when we start to live by our feelings, that's dangerous ground. Some days I feel like going to Walmart in my pajamas. But I do not act upon those feelings. Come on. Just because we feel something doesn't mean we need to act upon it. Amen? There are a good number of pastors and ministers today that have not been called by God. They've been called by themselves. And they have brought damage to churches, damage to communities, and damage to the cause of Christ. They can't seem to grow their church except for just a handful of people. They have no real impact in the community. The lost are not getting saved, but bless God, they've got a church. Well, folks, a broken clock is right at least twice a day. A blind squirrel will occasionally find a nut. I mean, just because you've got a church and a couple people that go to it does not mean you've been called, and it does not mean that you are effective. Listen, most of these people were not sent ones, they were went ones, and they are usually the most disagreeable people on the planet. And it just has to stop. Come on, the hatred, the bitterness, the jealousy, the contention, the being disagreeable has to stop. If we're going to see the kingdom of God advance, we've got to have agreeable people. And I tell you what, we are fooling ourselves if you don't think this is an issue in the church today. Because there are some churches that will not fellowship with other churches because of the skin color. There are some churches who will not fellowship with other churches because of some minor, minor doctrinal difference. I know two churches that believe everything exactly the same. Exactly the same. But they will not fellowship one with another because when one church water baptizes the people, they put them down back first. And when the other church water baptizes the people, they put them down face first. And because of that one thing, they will not fellowship one with another nor work together to expand the kingdom of God. Some churches will not fellowship one with another because of the denominational label they wear. Some just won't do it out of sheer jealousy. Come on. Folks, this is crazy. I'll go as far as to say it's sinful. And it needs to stop. God is calling us to unity. He is calling us to work together and labor together. We have all been called to advance the kingdom of God together. The world says they will know we're Christians by our love. And if we truly love one another, we will learn to get along. We will learn to be agreeable. Now, I understand that there are some people who are determined to cause trouble and to cause division. And Paul says we need to mark them. But those aren't the people I'm really talking about. I'm talking about people who really do love God. They really have a relationship with God. Folks, those of us that are like that, we've got to learn to walk in agreement one with another. We've got to be agreeable people. I've got to love my neighbor as I love myself. And I even have to love my enemies. There's more I want to share, but I'm going to have to continue tomorrow. I just want you to know that the American church is broken. It is sick. It is diseased. It needs a major healing. And it has to start being healed somewhere. And I think this is a great place for it to start. I know this might not have been the typical shout and holler and get happy message. But folks, I'm telling you, we have to take action. If we truly believe that Jesus is coming and he's coming soon. Now, I may be different than you. I don't believe we're in the last days. I don't. I believe we're in the last moments. And if we really believe that we're in the last moments, then we better get our act together. I think it's put up or shut up time in the church. Yeah, put up or shut up. Amen. Let's start doing what God has called us to do. Amen. If you'd stand to your feet with me tonight, if our musician will come. There's more I want to share, but you know, if we would just focus on these three, authentic passion, aggressive pursuit, and agreeable people, we'd start to see some changes real quick. Amen. So I'm just going to ask if you'll just bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. And here's my prayer for tonight, that a strong spirit of conviction will fall upon us right now. That a strong spirit of conviction will fall upon us right now. I'm asking God that right now, he not let a one of us escape this place without having a talk with Jesus. Because folks, I think we're all guilty. I think we can all improve in these areas. Come on, none of us have attained. Paul said, I'm pressing on. I've not yet attained. I'm pressing on. Amen? And so I'm going to just open up these altars, and I'm just going to simply say, will you obey God and come? And will you ask God to forgive you for not having authentic passion? Or Ask him to increase your passion. Will you come and repent of not aggressively pursuing him or forgive you for pursuing things other than him? Will you come and be determined to be an agreeable person, to get along with other people, even though you may not agree with everything they believe? We can still be agreeable. Listen, the law of the kingdom of God is love. And it's time that we walk in love with one another by being agreeable and not disagreeable. Amen? So we're just going to open these altars, and I'm going to invite you to come. Or right where you're at, make the seat where you're at an altar before the Lord. And let's seek him, shall we? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you. We thank you that you have called us to advance the kingdom. And God, we confess tonight we have failed. In America, we have failed to advance the kingdom. God, will you forgive us? Will you forgive us for putting the agendas of man above your agenda? Will you forgive us, God, for not working with one another? For not having a true passion for you? For not pursuing after you? God, we realize that we can't do this in and of ourselves. There's not enough gifts or talents or abilities or charisma that we have that's going to affect or change lives. But God, it's all your Spirit. It's all your Spirit. You desire to flow through us. You desire to work through us. You desire to love through us. God, help us. Help us, Jesus. Help us tonight, Lord. Help us tonight. Let's get serious about this thing that you called us to. It's not time to play games in the church any longer. It's not time to play games in the church any longer. If we don't preach the gospel, the Kiwanis Club will not do it. If we don't preach the gospel, the March of Dimes will not do it. If we don't preach the gospel, the Red Cross will not do it. If we don't preach the gospel, the Lions Club will not do it. God, the gospel, preaching the gospel, advancing the kingdom is the job that you have given to the church. It's our mission. It's our calling. Forgive us for not taking it serious. Forgive us for not giving it our all. May our hearts be bent towards you tonight, God. May our hearts be bent towards you tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We surrendered all to you. We surrendered all to you, God. We surrendered all to you tonight, God. And we say we're ready, Lord. We're ready to come to attention in the spirit realm. We're ready to say yes, sir.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just praise you. We just glorify your name. We lift you up. Thank you for sealing this word in our hearts. Thank you that we can never be the same, Lord God, as we go forth from this place tonight. Lord, we're going to go forth with the supernatural anointing power of the Holy Spirit upon us, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that throughout the night that your Spirit is going to supernaturally transform, Lord God, this word into the very fiber of our being so that we will go forth and do the works of God. Lord, that this flesh, this word will be fleshed out. Flesh it out, Holy Spirit. Flesh it out tomorrow, throughout the next week. Lord, the Word became flesh and moved into the community. Father, we pray that this Word will come alive on the job to this next week, Lord. That your Word will come alive in the grocery store. Lord God, out in the marketplace, oh God. We agree together that this Word will be in every fiber of this building, Lord. Every person that is a part of this church will supernaturally
be changed.
Your word changes. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. Just thank him right now. Thank him for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Seal it in my heart. Seal it in my heart, Lord. Seal it in my heart, oh God. Oh, write it on the tables of my heart, Lord. Write it on the tables of my heart, oh God. I never want to be the same again. When I wake up tomorrow morning, Lord God, I thank you that I'm going to be a brand new person in you, Lord. Each one of us, Lord God. Because your word is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the sunder, the soul and the spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And Lord, I thank you that every one of us, every one of our family members is going to be changed because of this word, Lord God. Everyone that we meet is going to be supernaturally changed because you're changing us tonight. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow. I tell you what, I'm excited about this word. And you may be seated just for a moment here. Brother Tim, thank you so much. Thank you so much. What I want you to do is call at least five people up and invite them out. Just invite them. That's all we need to do. Just invite them and say, if you want to be changed, come and hear the word of the Lord. And I'm so thankful for it tonight. I tell you what, I'm thankful for this word for me. You know, you thought you had a passionate pastor, but you haven't seen anything yet, brother. You haven't seen anything yet. Hallelujah. Amen. This 93-year-old man, you haven't seen anything yet out of him. Amen. He's coming alive. He really is. I mean, it's amazing. He's talking more, and he's sharing the word more, and no one to hold him down anymore. Now you don't have mama to tell you what to do. Now you got the Holy Ghost to tell you what to do, Dad. Amen. Yeah. Hey, praise God. Hallelujah. We just want to give you opportunity, whatever the Lord may just make it to Grace Chapel, and we just want to bless Brother Tim and his ministry, his family, and I'm just thrilled about it here tonight. And Father, we just thank you for the honor and the privilege that we have just to be here and hear this word and hear the testimonies. And Lord God, we just commit our time to you, Lord God, and we commit tomorrow to you, Lord. I'm so thankful that I can rest in you, knowing that you're doing something big in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you just received there. This will be up online, probably Ben, Monday or whatever.
Or earlier. I'll try.
Okay, you'll try to put it up. Then. I want to tell you, I wasn't here Sunday, but every one of you need to listen to that message Sunday morning again. You go on gracechapelcares.org and listen to Brother Ben's message. Brother Ben, that was powerful, man.
Amen.
I appreciate the word of the Lord that's in you too.
Praise
Amen. Lord. And God is giving us some real direction concerning fasting. We're going to be sharing that on Sunday morning too. And you know, I don't want to have one of those things that he shared about a dying church be part of Grace Chapel. Amen.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. I'm anxious to see what the other four. You have four more tomorrow morning. You're going to share. You said seven, so you share three tonight, four more tomorrow morning. And so, just come. In the middle of the summer, 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock tomorrow. Say, hey, I'm on a Saturday. I'm going for a Bible school teaching, and it's going to transform my life. Come and join me. What else do you have to do? So let the Holy Ghost bless you and do whatever for you. And brother, Julian, thank you for that testimony.
Amen.
Now, we have that. We're going to put that up too. Is that okay?
Is that okay?
We can put that up, okay? And give us a title of that so we can put it up and you can
Julian's
tell people.
Testimony.
Huh?
Julian's testimony.
Testimony. What is beautiful, you can go on the website and then you can share that, just that link, And you can put it on Facebook, and it goes right to it on our website. And so that's what we're doing, and it's very amazing how we can engineer that. So I tell you what, let's stand together.
Amen.
Pardon? Yeah, Julian's going to be ordained tomorrow morning here. What part of the service are you going to do? At the very end of the service. Now that's a miracle. I'm blessed that Brother Timothy wants to have that done here to ordain our brother, because we're going to have a part of commissioning him. Hallelujah. Woo! I think that's powerful.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Make His face to shine upon you. Lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And I place the name of the Lord on you tonight. Love you.